everyone, this is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Ordinary 9, Proper 4, or Pentecost Plus 2, Year B. This week's epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians has Paul discussing the power of God and persistence in ministry. In Mark 2, Jesus and the Pharisees go at it over appropriate Sabbath observance. We're persisting in Sabbath use of multiple intelligence preaching. Come along and see if it's appropriate or not.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The epistle lesson for Year B, Ordinary 9, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. There's a lot in these verses. One of the images that comes out is Paul talking about treasure in clay jars. So that's where this comes from. And then in verse 8 and verse 9, have that lovely poetic progression of images. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. I've always liked that. It sort of sounds like music. And I just thought that maybe we should have probably put that in the music smart because
maybe,
we didn't.
Maybe we will.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Before
on
we're
the
done,
fly.
We'll.
So, it's very poetic and very, very rich in imagery. So we have intelligences that we are going to look at today. We're looking at eye smart, both illustration and special effect, and illustration and body smart, both illustration and special effect in nature and self smart.
For eye smart, looking at verse 7, the treasure in clay jars, those clay jars probably would have been just ordinary storage containers in the ancient world. So some ways of thinking about that for our contemporary situation would be like, would you keep your fine jewelry in Tupperware? Or would you keep your stock certificates in kitchen canisters?
Some people probably do.
Maybe so. Would you keep the deed to your house in a cookie jar? And you might. People keep things in strange places that people might not look, but that's not quite the point.
Is anyway, that kind of like those fake rocks that you put a house key in?
Right, yeah. There you go, sure. So anyway, thinking about that and how keeping your valuables in ordinary containers. And so then for special effect on that same verse, same idea, bring in some clay pots, flower pots or kitchen canisters, ceramic kitchen canisters, or maybe, plastic storage ware, which would not be clay, but the modern equivalent,
mm-hmm.
right? And that might be enough just to have those containers there. Or if you want to go a little further, then get some treasure to put into those containers and pots. If you're particularly able to do so, just put whatever treasure you happen to have in there. Or you could simulate it with like those gold foil chocolate coins, for example.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Faked jewels that you get from the party store or something.
Well, I just happen to think if if it's available, if you can do it, use the use that particular container for the morning offering.
Oh, what a great idea!
Why, thank you.
How clever!
I'm coming up with all sorts of stuff sitting here without having written any of it down.
So we're doing a live show, apparently, despite all our text here.
Well, anyway, that's a bonus idea that you will hear if you listen to the podcast and don't download the worksheet or read the show notes. So, ha, there you go.
Yeah, bonus. But you should download the worksheet
and read the show notes. Yes,
at morethanhearing.org.
All right, for Body Smart, we've got a couple of different options here. Looking at verses 10 and 11 about always carrying in our body the death of Jesus so that his life might be made visible in us. David got to thinking that that sounds kind of like tattoos, tattoos that tell stories in or on our bodies. And we have a couple of different links to people who have some advice on how to go about choosing a tattoo. Each of them both say that it's something that you need to decide on that is special to you. And we know from experience with our own daughter and her tattoos is that there's a great deal of collaboration goes on between the person who is being tattooed and the tattooer. Is that a
artist?
Word? Artist. Thank you. Yeah. So the thought there being that tattoos have a very significant meaning to people who wear them because obviously they're going to be wearing them the rest of their lives.
Well, going on, if we look at verses 8 and 9, it is that sequence that Molly was referring to earlier. And there's a TV trope about this kind of thing. How much more can he take? And, you know, TV Tropes is one of our go-to sites for things like this. But it discusses the ways in which when you get superheroes in particular and supervillains fighting, that it becomes almost meaningless in some sense because they're punishing each other with such blows that should kill an ordinary person on the first shot, and they shake it off, and they're at full strength the whole way through the battle. You get lost as to who's winning or losing the fight until some arbitrary, you know, trick at the end that just ends the fight because, well, that's all the time we have, right?
The writers ran out of ideas.
Yeah, or the special effects artists are we're done. And that's all we got, right? So so that's kind of an interesting way to think about this, that, you know, heroes that are getting beat up but don't seem to wear down, but it's a different kind of take on that. But then if you think about other movie heroes and heroines, a lot of times we end up with the hero getting pretty beat before coming back and either escaping or winning.
Or prevailing,
Indiana Jones is classic for that, of course. Neo in the Matrix trilogy, in the first film and in the last film in particular. The last battle really goes that way. And I thought of Scarlett O'Hara, actually. Not as a superhero, but as a model.
As God is my witness, I will never be hungry again.
Right. So as a model of persistence through hardship, even though a lot of her methods are not things that we would advocate necessarily.
True. She was, much of what she did to survive, and she did to take care of her and her own, not necessarily looking out for the others.
Right. True. So we have links for all three of those characters, and the one for Scarlett in particular takes note of the fact that she is a very flawed character, but that it raises the question, you know, what would you do to survive?
Right. Right.
So, and the difference between these heroes and, for the most part, and Paul and Jesus is that for the Christ model, death is the way to victory. So.
Briefly, very quickly, music, Jars of Clay, the Christian contemporary group, got a link to their website. They've got a lot of interesting stuff. And then Clay Jars.
And don't forget to set verses 8 and 9 to music.
Right, exactly. Yes. And Going on to Nature Smart, we're looking at clay and the idea of clay jars. Clay is very plastic, especially when it's wet or it's damp. It's very malleable and very able to be formed. When it's heated or when it's fired, it hardens into a more permanent shape. And so there's a parallel kind of to following Jesus here, I think. We're refreshed and shaped and, you know, made formed by God in the Spirit and by discipleship of Jesus. And then we are fired. And we go out to become something useful out into the world. So for a special effect, bring in some modeling clay or some Play-Doh and work it into a shape while you talk. Or if you have a potter in your congregation, invite that person to exhibit some of their work and talk about the properties of clay and what it means to shape things and then what happens in the firing process.
Going back to verses 10 and 11, still on Nature Smart, and that's the carrying the death of Christ in our bodies. When I was a kid, my grandmother went to, I think, Florida, or maybe it was Hawaii. She went to both places with some regularity. And she brought back for each of the grandkids a crucifix fish, which is the skull of a, what is it, a sail catfish. And the dried skull of this fish looks like a crucifix. And it's
the weirdest thing. I've never seen that before in my life.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And, and you know, it's the kind of thing that your grandmother gives you and you go, oh.
Thanks, Grandma.
Thanks. Ugh. Right? So, but it's kind of cool, you know. So anyway, we have a link for you to a picture of this thing with a card that tells the legend of it and points out some of the different pieces of it. So this fish that looks like a sculpture carries the death of Christ in its body.
That is weird. Okay, finally, for self-smart, going back to the idea of the containers in iSmart, we have a link to the phrase, one person's junk is another person's treasure, and the etymology of the phrase. It goes way back, if you can, you know, trust what we've got here. But anyway, so that idea of one person's junk being another person's treasure, for a self-smart special effect, refer back to those containers in iSmart. What treasure would you put in one of those containers? What is your treasure? What's precious to you? And that maybe that might be something that you could even broaden out to be a PeopleSmart special effect, have people talk about it. But we put it here in self-smart particularly because I think there are times when we have to determine what's important and what is precious, what is our treasure.
Okay, cool. Let's go on. The gospel lesson for year B, ordinary 9, is Mark 2, verse 23, through chapter 3, verse 6. This is a two-part story of Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees over issues surrounding the Sabbath. So the first part is Jesus and the disciples out for a walk and going through some grain fields, and the disciples are plucking a little grain along the way for a little pick-me-up and a little trail mix there. And the Pharisees say, hey, it's the Sabbath. Why are they doing that on the Sabbath? Not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. Jesus says, no, it doesn't work like that. Remember David and the temple and the bread and the thing? And so the Sabbath was made for us, not the other way around. So chill. And then they don't chill because he goes to the synagogue and there's a man with a withered hand and they wait to see if he will heal him or not. And he confronts them and says, you know, what is it that you're supposed to do on Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? What's allowed? And my understanding is that there is a general understanding that even God does good on the Sabbath. And so they should have had a ready answer for that, but they stonewall him instead. And so he does good and heals the man's hand, and they go out and plot evil to destroy him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. So we're going to take a look at four of the smarts here. We have word smart, illustration, and special effect. We have a math smart illustration, or series, sort of, and special effect for body smart, and people smart, both illustration and special effect.
All right, starting with word smart, the word Sabbath is used frequently in both of these little stories here, these two vignettes. It's a Hebrew word, Shabbat, and it means cease, desist, rest. So a good way of illustrating that might be to talk about the children's game Red Light, Green Light. Have you ever played that? Everybody lines up, and one person is it, and they stand a certain distance away with their back to everybody, and so people start creeping up, and because that's green light, and then whoever is it spins around and yells, Red Light! And everybody's supposed to stop, and if you don't stop in time, you're tagged out. So
so some body smart on that.
Yes, quite. Yeah. When it yells red light, everyone's supposed to stop. It's sort of like the words halt or stop or avec. Okay, that's a Looney Tunes reference. Remember the gendarme who was all panicked about finding Pepe Le Pew in the perfumerie? He's got out yelling into the street. Various things and avec. Yeah, which actually means with.
Yeah. Not rest or stop or cease.
So that's an illustration talking about words that mean stop. And for a special effect, bring in some stop signs. Just the word stop. It's also kind of got an iSmart element too because it's visual.
For MathSmart, looking at the beginning of the first story here about the group going through the grain fields and the disciples plucking some grain. Perhaps, and this is math smart because of the logical comparisons here. It's sort of A is to B as C is to D.
Those things that they would have on the SATs,
right,
and the ACTs,
yes.
And you sit there going, I don't know, what are you talking about here?
Yeah. So hopefully it will be clearer than that.
What we're doing here.
But we'll see.
If you don't get this right, you can't get into college. I'm sorry.
So perhaps the disciples plucking grain while on their morning walk is to doing the work of harvesting as, and I realized that when I put this together, I didn't do it as quite the full ratio, but you'll get the sense here, I think. So it's like an NBA star playing horse with his kid in the backyard. Still doing the same thing he does for work, but not for work.
A little different.
Right? Mm-hmm. A cab driver going on a drive to see the spring or fall foliage.
Mm-hmm.
A chef putting together a picnic lunch with her beloved.
Hmm.
A judge trying to decide what to wear for date night. A construction worker building a house of cards. Or a preacher writing a postcard from the beach.
Good. I like that.
So they're doing the same things that they might do at work, but not for the purpose of work.
Right.
So
I like that.
Yeah.
It's for the purpose of relationship.
Yeah. Or or recreation.
Mm-hmm. Restoration.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. I like that. For body smart, for a special effect, we're looking at the second part of verse 5 in chapter 3, where the man stretched out his hand and it was restored. So during the prayers of the people, invite people to stretch out their hands as they offer prayer requests and petitions. So there's a little bit of movement that's happening here. So have them just, you know, stretch it out. Sometimes as you move it, you know, doing something a little different with your body for something that you're used to doing can kind of bring about a different understanding or appreciation of it,
mm-hmm.
or an experience of it.
Yeah. And I wasn't thinking about, you know, raising holy hands
just
here so much as
reaching out.
Doing the same thing as the man with the withered hand.
Stretch
it out. I'm sort of stretching it out.
Kind of just sort of stretching myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're both doing all these arm motions, which is great for a podcast.
Another thing you could do as a special effect for Body Smart is actually play Red Light, Green Light, and whoever wins gets first crack at the cookies.
For People Smart, random thought here that political polarization is clearly not a new phenomenon. Mm-mm. We get that in this story. But then going on, I was looking for a story that I thought I had heard, and I couldn't find it, but I came across one that's sort of like it, kind of, and ended up, it was in a blog post, and I ended up reading the comments. Oh, God save me.
Geez,
I hate reading the comments. But so the story was about a fellow who got caught trying to steal communion wafers from a priest, and he was apprehended by two older members of the congregation, apparently. And so the blog post is kind of applauding these older members for apprehending the thief. And so I got into the comments, and most of the comments were sort of that same kind of thing. But also, they were very concerned about the sacrilege that was involved with this fellow taking the host. It was, they were apparently Catholic folks commenting on a Catholic church situation. Mm-hmm. And somebody suggested that, well, what if the guy was hungry, and actually mentioned this story in the Matthew version of it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, rage coming back at him for suggesting such things, because clearly this was a sacrilege and not because the guy was hungry, which there's no evidence one way or the other
in the story.
So,
right.
So the arguments going back and forth in the comments reminded me of kind of the struggle of these stories and the hard line on you got to keep the sacred sacred versus what's the need and what's the motivation mm-hmm. of the person involved here.
Mm-hmm. A basic need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the compassion for that?
Right. So, yeah, you know, maybe he was a thief, but what's he going to do with a handful of wafers that are worth maybe, what, 50 cents?
Oh, if.
Is he going to sell them on the street?
All those you communion know? Wafer junkies
and,
out
and,
there.
Right. And if he does, so what? I don't know. Well, anyway. I was frustrated with it. I look forward to your emails. Anyway, for special effect, pressing on with that, did I mention this is People Smart, by the way? I don't know if I did. Anyway, what would you do in your church if somebody came in before the worship service and started chowing down on the communion bread on the table?
It would depend on who it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
It might.
If it's a kid mm-hmm. and sees the bread up there and thinks, oh, snack time.
Right, yeah.
Well, then there's a moment for teaching and correction. Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If it's somebody who's staggering in and looks a little worse for wear, maybe you take them back to the kitchen and give them the rest of the loaf.
That may be. I don't know. Anyway, that's a question to ponder and invite some conversation around that, perhaps. Another similar question, what are some of the unspoken rules and unspeakable violations of proper church etiquette in your congregation?
Like sitting in the wrong pew?
Sitting in the wrong person's pew. yeah. For example.
Scandal! From time to time, we like to share things from previous episodes that we or you, our listeners, have used, or new ideas that you have shared with us. We call this segment the feedback loop, and we have a couple of things we would like to share with you today.
So we got some feedback through Facebook from Pastor Susan Presley in Illinois, and she wrote a sermon on Isaiah 6 from Pentecost Sunday, and she used the idea of spiritual synesthesia. Are you familiar with synesthesia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the neurological condition where the senses kind of overlap. Mm-hmm. In odd ways in your brain. And so you end up with like certain numbers have colors associated with them, or certain sounds have shapes associated with them, and things like that. Different odd combinations. Well, they're odd to the rest of us, but for the folks who have synesthesia, it's very normal, and it's just another way of experiencing the world. So Susan had come across a commentary that she had gotten from a friend, a retiring pastor, and it was the 2009 commentary called New Proclamation that talked about this idea of spiritual synesthesia. And then Susan went on and incorporated that into her sermon on the Isaiah passage, because it's such a multi-sensory experience in that passage.
Oh, I imagine someone with synesthesia would hear that passage and just be exhausted at the end of it, probably.
No kidding. Yeah. So she shared that sermon with us. She said she doesn't usually publish her sermons, but she shared it with us so we could see it. And it was really good. I think she shared it before Sunday. And so I think, I hope that it went as well as I would have expected, because I thought it was pretty engaging. So thanks, Susan, for sharing that with us and connecting your multi-sensory experiences.
We also had some, we used some of our stuff too. David used with WordSmart choral reading from Ezekiel 37 on Pentecost. He had some of the youth come up and use that. We had 5 middle schoolers and 5 high schoolers, and they divvied up the part between Ezekiel and God. So if you look, if you downloaded or you looked at the choral reading, you can see how we did that, and then we just used the different kids reading different parts.
Yep, and there's actually a video of that service on our Facebook page, not the on our church's Facebook page.
You should put that on the More Than Hearing page.
Yeah,
if you
I'll try to remember to link that, so you can take a look there. Then we also both used from the Ezekiel passage the idea of who in our world is feeling hopeless and cut off, as the house of Israel did. And we both used the idea not of the of fire. We didn't use the fire. I chickened out and went with a sprinkler head instead. For the idea.
I didn't actually bring one with me because I forgot, but I did talk about the sprinkler
head idea.
I had
to dig around to find that thing.
You found it outside, didn't
you? I did.
You?
It was beside the air conditioning unit there.
Yeah, so. That's where we keep it for some strange reason. I'm
not
sure.
Well, that's where the hose lives.
Yeah, but it really ought to go in the shed.
It should have.
Anyway. So then for Trinity Sunday, David used the iSmart.
Yeah. We suggested for the Romans 8 passage doing the string art for the Trinitarian
the Trinity.
Connections. Yeah. And I didn't use that passage because I'm doing a different series here after Pentecost, but on spiritual gifts. But I did use it nonetheless. I used Romans. What did I use? No, I used Corinthians 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but we'd also suggested it with the John passage. Did you use John?
No.
Geez, this was just Sunday. You think we'd remember.
I know. No, I used, the Isaiah 6 passage and 1 Corinthians 12.
Ah, right. Right.
But anyway, use the string art, a simplified form of the string art on a bulletin board.
And worked pretty well.
Yeah. I had the first section already done when I brought it in, and then just did the other two. And it didn't take too long, and I only got lost a couple times.
With some helpful commentary from people in the congregation. Yes. Go to the left side!
But no. So anyway, that's what we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and some of our listeners. So if you have an idea, be sure and let us know about it, either on our Facebook page or the website, or send us an email, and we'll include you in the next feedback loop.
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store, and of course you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.